To the tie line we go. 31 thoughts. Sportsnet's NHL coverage. Jeff Merrick now on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650.
Does anybody really know what a tie line is?
Probably not. Probably not now that I think about it out loud. Actually,
I always wonder like how industry geeky we should get with our conversations. Like, I'm not hearing program feed. Does anybody understand what that means?
I
can't hear the show.
I should mention, I also introduced Scotty Rintoul when he joins us. He is also on a tie line. So I'm using it a lot, but now I just realize.
I don't even know what it is. I just kind of nod. I'm like, it sounds good. Sounds better than a phone.
I've had this, this tie line box in my office since me and Wyshynski were doing the MVSW podcast, and I'll be damned if someone, said, okay, your career rests on you explaining what happens with the tie line box and why it sounds clear. I'd say, well, it's been a good run. I had a lot of fun. It was,
Can you explain what's happening with the NHL officiating in these playoffs? I know you guys talked about it on 31 Thoughts.
Yeah, I don't know. It's I understand the calls are going to get missed. I think that's baked into the pie. I know there's a level of frustration that everybody has here, fans, coaches, players, managers, all of them. I hate to get, I'm not perfect, so I really don't like slamming and, berating officials over missed calls. But when it gets to a certain point, you kind of got to say something.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it's been tough.
I'm
the last one that gets dragged. I get dragged kicking and screaming into the conversation about officiating. Like, I'm always of the mind that I don't expect hockey players to be perfect, so I shouldn't expect officials to be perfect. Like, I remember, I'll give you a quick example. It's like sort of detour of the story, but I will get back to, Chris Lee, because I know this is where we're heading. I remember playing beer league once and going at the referee about something. I can't remember what it was. And he turned to me and he said, "You want better officiating?" I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Be a better player. You're getting the level of officiating that you deserve." And I'm like, "Whoa, that's a really, really good point. I'm a really bad hockey player. Why do I expect this official to be better than I am?" Like, okay, you got me on that one. That's a good countermeasure. I don't expect officials to be perfect. Just like I don't expect hockey players to be perfect. But there have been some pretty egregious missed calls here. I understand that we want that players play with a certain intensity in the playoffs that they don't play with during the regular season. Friedman always goes out of his way to make this point. I do think it's the right one. We always assume that it's the officiating that changes in the postseason, where really it's the play that changes in the postseason. Like, every shift is nasty. No one, licks the envelope and mails it in. Like, everything is that much more intense. But this has not been a glorious playoffs, just by and large, like painting with a roller here. This has not been a great playoffs for the NHL officiating crew. And there does seem to be, a certain common denominator that we're seeing here as well.
It's funny because you said we're going to eventually get to Chris Lee. Like, I know he's had a really tough go and he's been front and center, but I don't really think that it's a Chris Lee problem. Like,
does he not know the cross-checking rule? Maybe he doesn't know
cross-checking. There is that
no,
part.
No, but hang on. That's a really subtle. That's a really interesting point too, because that is sort of a cross-checking. I mean, it's not like lacrosse where it's like, yep, that's the sport. But cross-checking in the NHL has kind of existed in this weird spot where it happens all over the ice, all game long, and we kind of look at it and say, well, sometimes it's bad and sometimes it's not. Like, sometimes a cross check is, ooh, that's bad. And sometimes a cross check is, well, that's just the game and let them play. And I get that it's a tough job to judge that at that single moment. But man, I think if nothing else, this offseason, the NHL needs to have a look at what do we want to do with cross checks,
because
and specifically cross checks around the boards. Like, I'm one of these people that believes that we're at the beginning of the conversation about maybe ending hitting around the boards in general. Like, board hitting, I think, eventually is going to phase its way out of the game, and that's by penalty, not by how players play. But I think this is an offseason where, every year there's an audit on something. I wonder if this offseason it's the audit on what do we do with cross-checking.
The thing is, and I agree with you, and we were talking about that earlier in the show, they had a kind of a crackdown on slashes to the wrists, and I wonder if this cross-check on Kucherov, which is... I know sometimes a cross check is just you know, especially if you're battling in front of the net, sometimes it's just part of the battle. But that was like a textbook cross check. You know, if that's not a cross check, then just take it out of the rule book, because, you know, it doesn't matter anymore. Where I was going with this, I can't quite remember. But
cross-checking.
I have that effect.
But I do wonder what it would look like, and you know, where would you draw the line on cross-checking? Would it be like, you know, yeah, because that's what's happened. Eventually, the referees have basically said, "Nah, we're not going to call that cross-check in front of the net. That's just part of battling in hockey." And then it's gotten to the point where you're not going to call a cross check on one of the team's best players, a superstar player, when it's an obvious cross check. So you got to look, I agree with you. You got to look at it entirely and set some sort of line in stone.
And I wonder if, you know, the one thing that you mentioned there, I mean, this is Nikita Kucherov, one of the best players in the game, you know, I mean, have a look at the points leader in the playoffs, regardless of how you felt about how Tampa handled his surgery and how he emerged and what he's done. Like, he's an elite player, one of the best in the game, period. I think one of the conversations that is, you know, already happening now around the league is, how do we keep the stars healthy and on the ice more? And whether that's and this has always been, you know, antithetical to how hockey thinks, but if it's more of a tighter enforcement of infractions against your Connor McDavids and your Nathan MacKinnons and your Elias Petterssons, etc., I don't think anybody will have a problem with that. Sorry, fourth line guy, you're going to get pounded and the referees are just going to say play on. But I mean, like any penalty other than puck over the glass, which is just the puck went over the glass and here's the automatic penalty. I mean, the reality that we deal with here is there are a number of different ways to interpret infractions. You know, what's a cross-check penalty to one person is a different cross-check penalty to someone. Like, I would be willing to venture, like, amongst the three of us right now, we all have a different standard for things like what is goalie interference,
sure,
what is a cross check, what is an appropriate slash when you knock the stick out of someone's hands. Like, at the end of it, I think as fans or as observers of the game, one thing we really do need to be a better job being settled with is this is a game that's still based on an interpretation of the rule book.
Yep.
It's always going to be there. Like, we all interpret penalties differently unless we have, you know, robot refs.
Yeah.
You know, like they're talking about robot umpires in baseball with balls and strikes. Until we have that, I don't think anybody's ultimately going to be happy.
I don't want to spend the entire segment with you just talking about penalties, because I'm kind of like you. Like, I hate the discussion, and you got to drag me kicking and screaming into this discussion about officiating. And I think it shows that if you and I are at the point where, like, yeah, they probably have to look at something, then they probably have to look at it. But I do want to talk about the Coliseum last night. I know you're a student of the game. You know the history better than anyone I know. I threw this out on Twitter. Was that the biggest goal at the Coliseum since Bob Nystrom's goal when when the Islanders, when he scored in overtime? Jim Robson on the call, by the way, for Hockey Night in Canada in 1980 against the Flyers. That
afternoon game.
Was it really? See, you do know the history.
I remember watching that at my friend Bob Makowitz's house, and I believe it was an afternoon game. Yes.
So that was their first Stanley Cup. Now, they obviously scored a bunch of big goals after that goal, because they won a few more Stanley Cups after that. But I was actually looking through some of their games and their history, and I'm just wondering if that goal last night stood up to pretty much anything except the Nystrom goal in Islanders history.
It felt like Islanders fans hope that they're going to win Game 7, clearly, but if that was a goodbye, that's the way Islanders fans want to say goodbye to the Coliseum. Do you think that was part of it? Like, that was part of the emotion? Like, maybe
for
this
sure
is the last time we're all together here.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And then that sort of element of emotion, that layer, you know, that layer of emotion gets added on to the Bevilier goal. I mean, ultimately, of course, it's not as big as something that happens in the Stanley Cup final. But I think as far as the legacy of the Coliseum, if that was the last playoff goal scored, at the Coliseum, fans certainly recognized it. You know, I think everybody at that moment realized this may be the last time we see this in the playoffs. Let's treat it like it's a goodbye to the playoff Coliseum. So I'm not going to say it was certainly there with Nystrom in that goal against the Philadelphia Flyers for their first Stanley Cup. But, I mean, as far as a send-off for the Coliseum in the playoffs, as much as Islanders fans are hoping they win Game 7, I think in the back of everyone's mind who was celebrating yesterday and chucking water bottles and tins of beer on the ice, they're saying this is a fitting goodbye to this, you know, wonderful dump that we all loved and hated at the same time. Much like, you know, I've always maintained that part of the best thing about sports is hating sports at times. And I know that leagues don't understand that. And I think the first league that understands it is ultimately going to do themselves a great service. But as much as Islanders fans and anyone who went there may have hated the Coliseum, you also loved it because of the old charm about it and the atmosphere and the cups and, you know, the bow tie of Bill Torrey up in the raft. Like, all of it is wonderful. And I think that Bevilier goal and the reaction too was Islanders fans saying, thanks for some great memories here, everybody. We're Islanders fans. We might be moving on, but we're never going to forget the Coliseum.
Jeff, you're the best, buddy. Thanks a lot for doing this today. We really appreciate it. Enjoy the Habs and Golden Knights game tonight, and we'll talk again next week.
Ooh, we could have a Canadian. This is bizarro land, right? But we'll see what happens. Thanks, boys. We'll talk officiating in 7 more days. We'll find another controversy.
Can't wait. See you, Jeff.
See you, boys.